Hello, welcome to another chat. It's October 20th, it's a Wednesday. I normally do these things on the Tuesdays, but it was rather grey and drizzly and rainy and horrible all day yesterday, with occasional downpours. So I was going to do it inside and I didn't get around to it. And then today is a glorious day again. So a little bit of a breeze, the sun's shining, it's actually quite warm. Going to be a bit warm with my waterproof on, I think. Yeah, pretty amazing day. We've come up on one of our regular walks. It's a bit longer than the other one, so we don't have to do two laps. It takes us a little while to get here. Walking through the lanes, where we have to sort of jump into a ditch or something if we hear a car coming. Fortunately, a couple of cars this morning were locals, and they were very patient. They waited while we trudged up the hill a bit and found a place to pull in, because the lanes are so narrow, they don't have verges, and they have these Devon banks, which I may have mentioned before. So underneath the hedge at the side of the road is a bank of just loose earth and rocks, and the hedges grow on the top of that. So if you're driving and you meet somebody else, you often have to reverse to find a place to pull in. And if you're a pedestrian, you either have to sort of press yourself into the hedge, or if like me, you've got a dog with you, you've got to kind of find a place where you can get the dog out of the way, because drivers can't really see down to that level as they go past. So you want to make sure the dog is clear. One reason I often walk with a walking stick, actually, is that I have like a hiking stick, is that I think it makes drivers who are, you know, maybe going a bit too fast or something, they might sort of think twice. If they see a guy with a great big stick in his hand, they might think, well, I better get out of the way, give him a bit of room in case they scratch their car or something. I don't know. Anyway, oh, of course, the wind has sprung up as we come up this hill. I've been looking at some of these clip-on lavalier, however you pronounce it, clip-on microphones, because I do have one, but it doesn't seem very good. The sound quality isn't great. Anyway, I'll figure that out. But it's really windy. I think a front must just be coming over, because there's clouds coming overhead, and then there's really clear blue sky as I look back towards the village and along the Team Alley. It was interesting the other day. I was talking about accents and things, and I've just sort of relaunched Valley of Lies. Had a guy who edited the later books, he sort of came on board after that point, and I thought, you know, he does a good job. I'd like him to go through and do the first ones as well. So he went through a study in stone, and I put that back out again, and then he's just on Valley of Lies. And you know, you might say, oh, it's trying to rain, can you believe it? You might say, is it worth spending all that money on what is sort of an acceptable book that people have been reading for a while? And kind of it was to me. I like things to be as good as I can possibly get them. It's going to be really windy. Oh dear. Anyway, so yeah, there's a few little typos in there. Not many, but if possible, I'd like to have none. It's quite hard to achieve, but you know, and a few commas to shift around. But otherwise, you know, the book remains pretty much the same. It wasn't that kind of edit. A bit late for that. Anyway, the other reason I wanted to get that, really blustery now, sorry. The other reason I wanted to get that done was that I'm going to have the audio book done, and I've been looking into casting that. And Greg Barney, who did a study in stone, I think did a pretty good job. wanted to look around because I now I know a bit more about the process. I think it's fair enough to sort of weigh up your options. I mean, it's good to have the same person, I guess, in a way. But I wanted to look around and see, you know, whether we could improve things. And of course, the other novels are much longer, so it kind of feels a bit more important to me to have another look. And I was very much a beginner when I did the study in stone one. I didn't really know how it worked, how the process worked. Lottie just sort of sitting down there for a minute. I don't know why. Are you getting tired, Lottie? Good girl, come on. We'll just gently go around the rest of this field. Having a sniff around, aren't you? Come on. Anyway, now I know a bit more about it, feel a bit more savvy about it. And, it's raining on me. So anyway, I think I found somebody quite quickly who seems good. I maybe won't go into too much details yet because we haven't kind of totally sealed the deal, but he did a little sample for me very quickly, and I think he's going to enjoy working on it, which makes a big difference, I think. It seems like he's keen and he does a good job. He's a, you know, professional voiceover artist. And something about him just seemed to fit. And I asked him to do a little sample of from the book. And, you know, I thought he kind of got down really well straight away. And the guy had really hardly any time to prepare. He, you know, got there very quickly. Let's call Lottie, saying, Lottie, come on. Come on. Good girl. Just sniffing away at something. Good girl. That's it. So yeah, so that'll be on the cards. I think he'll actually get on with it fairly quickly once we get everything finalised. So I want to get that out before Christmas, and that'll be on all the platforms. I did find that having Study in Stone on Chirp seemed to be good for people. If you don't know it, it's like an audiobook platform. And they sort of let me do a special offer deal on there, of the price being lower for a month. I don't know if that's still in action, actually. You'd have to double check. I think it might be chirp.com. I can't remember. But it's owned by the same company who run BookBub, who sort of have profiles of authors, and you can join as a reader. I mean, I'm a member of it as a reader as well. So you can follow me on there, and then you'll get an update if I recommend somebody else's book on there, or when I have a new release, they'll let you know. And you can probably find all your favourite authors on there. Some of the more traditionally published ones, some of the big names, you might follow, and to be honest, they've probably been set up by a publisher, and I don't think you'll actually get any response, you know, from a what you might call a big name author published in one of the big publishing houses. But you can follow them, and you know, for what it's worth, I think the independent authors like me tend to be a bit more active on there. Some of them I know will recommend lots of books and so on, and that can be quite nice. It's not a sort of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours thing. It's just, you know, you see something you enjoy, you might put a recommendation or a little review on there. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, Chirp's worth a look if you enjoy your audiobooks. And The Valley of Lies would be on there. And all the other places, so that way it sort of gets available in libraries and things, which, as you know, I'm a great believer in libraries, so I think it's important. It's not great the way Amazon likes people to be exclusive to Amazon or on Audible, but they're even being taken to court about the way they've treated authors and the way they've handled royalty payments and so on. There is a sort of, not sure if it's a class action, but there is legal action being kind of planned against Amazon because of that, what people are calling Audible Gate. So I'm not really involved in that. I've never been exclusive with them. I don't know all the details. Yeah, I think what happened was that Amazon changed the terms that they were paying authors under without sort of giving anybody the chance to review it or decide or anything. They just did it. And that's the kind of thing they do, I'm afraid. It's a very big company. Good in lots of ways. You know, I do buy things from Amazon. I also try and buy things from other places these days. I'm just kind of aware of that whole global dominance thing not being necessarily in everybody's interests. So it's worth, if you're doing your online shopping, it's worth having a look around, I think. But hey, you know, this is where we are. So, what else have I been up to? Well, it's taken a little while to do things like sort out these audiobook narrators, but that seems to be coming together. So, I've just been chugging along with the next novel. And I do think it is finally picking up the pace a bit in terms of writing. You know, it's different writers will tell you that various points they get a bit stuck. People often say somewhere in the middle, it's easy to feel a bit bogged down. I'm a bit sort of a look at things and be a bit self-critical and say, oh, this is all awful, or, you know, I've lost interest in it, or whatever, that kind of upsetting feeling. I don't know that I have a specific pattern of things. There are certainly just days when it feels like harder work and other days when it seems to go very quickly and very easily. And I've tried mucking around with the way I work, but I just really tend to sit down and get on with it. I think about it quite a bit of the time when I'm not actually at the desk as well. That's kind of valuable thinking time. And ideas will come to me. Sometimes whole little stretches of dialogue will come to me, even if I'm, you know, doing something like this, like walking the dog or having a shower or something. And if you can kind of visualise a scene and the way the characters are interacting, that to me does a whole lot of the heavy lifting. Once you can get that, the other bits can flow. If you're interested in this process kind of thing, I did the other day, I'm not sure what people call it. I think some people call it a skeleton draft, but I did some writing where I just was pretty much banging down the dialogue by typing. I do sometimes dictate, but I was just typing with this. Kind of happier typing. I will sometimes dictate, but don't. When you do this kind of draft, you don't worry about all the, you know, he said, she said, maybe. You don't worry about that. You might put in a bit of body language if it strikes you as important at the time. You know, if you want somebody kind of looking shifty, it might be important to put in a sideways glance or something. Otherwise, you don't worry too much about that. You pretty much bash down the dialogue without the punctuation, just hit return and start a new line. And it sort of keeps the flow up, and it keeps the dialogue sounding a bit more natural, I think. Tends to be better if you can work quickly on something like that. And of course, it's fixing up afterwards and you might change your mind, but there's an old saying that you can't edit a blank page. And it's good to have an outline-ish sort of version to, not an outline, that's the wrong word. It's good to have a basic version to work on. So I will do that sometimes. Not always, but I did find it very good the other day. I just found the words rolling off very quickly. And it's interesting. I mean, I love writing dialogue. It's kind of what's said and what is not said and how it is said. I think all those things are very interesting. And this whole thing that people don't really know themselves all that well, but they might give themselves away by what they say and how they say it. So, you know, if you ask people how they think about something, they'll say, oh, fine, it's all fine, you know, but then there are ways that they can let you know that they aren't fine about it, or they're not confident with something, and so on. You know, it's you can say everything's hunky-dory and actually be feeling very different. Okay, I have kind of got into the field, and the rain is a bit more determined the way it's coming down. I don't usually record in the lane part of the walk home. So as we trot down here into this little tunnel of blackthorn bushes, which would go over the path if somebody didn't come and cut them every so often. Come on, Lottie. It's very picturesque when the blossom and so on is out. And the leaves are still on at the moment, which is wonderful, but they're all starting to fall. It's rather lovely actually going down the Devon Lanes and having that leaves fluttering down, you know, as you go, especially if the sun's shining. This is like a little tunnel of blackthorns, absolutely heavy with slow berries, or just sloes, as a lot of people would say. Some really masses of them. Yeah, I used to make some homemade wine, and you can put some sloes in that. People make slow gin, of course, but that's basically gin with sloes in it. I mean, I've quite got the idea of that, but yeah, I used to make some home-brewed country wines many years ago. Still got all the stuff, so it's just quite a bit of work. I made one with some sloes and blackberries and things in it, and it actually tasted quite like port when it came out. It's rather nice. Anyway, thank you very much for taking the time to listen, and thank you very much if you've joined the site or posted comments or popped a contribution in via coffee, sent me a cup of tea. That's all very welcome. I'm going to head home and have a mug of something hot now, I think. I think the rain might be holding off if I'm lucky. So it's going to take me 10, 15 minutes to get back. So thanks very much for all your support and encouragement, and I look forward to chatting to you again soon. Look after yourselves, take care, and I will talk soon. Bye.